One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hvordan ser katolisismen ut for en spansk protestant? Velkommen til Tore og Tarjei, en podcast fra dagen. Siden det sommer fortsatt, så har vi litt annet opplegg på episoden vår her fra podcasten i dagen, og Tarjei Gilje ikke med i dag. Men jeg, Tore Hjalmar-Sævik, har fått med meg en gjest som jeg tror kan være interessant å bli kjent med for flere. Utgangspunktet at forholdet mellom katolsk og protestantisk kristendom lenge var preget av stor avstand og skarpe uenighet. Men med økt sekularisering og pluralisering i mange vestlige land, så har relasjonene på flere nivå blitt mindre spenningsfylte. Som konservative protestanter som har vært oppgitt over det de ser som teologisk utglidning i egne kirkesamfunn, har også konvertert til katolisismen. Dagens gjest Joel Forster. Han spanjol og redaktør for den engelskspråklige internasjonale nettavisa evangelicalfocus.com. Jeg møtte Forster for noen år siden på den kristne lederkonferanse European Leadership Forum i Polen. Samtalet går naturlig nok på engelsk.
What is really the difference between Catholic and Protestant Christianity? Today, it is my privilege to welcome Joel Forster to our podcast. Joel is the director of evangelicalfocus.com, and that's a Christian newspaper based in Spain. And Joel, we met, I think it's 3 years ago or something, at the European Leadership Forum in Poland. The reason because I asked you was really that in the theological climate we're living in now, the differences between Christian denominations are not as they used to be. Some people find that maybe entering the Catholic Church would be a solution to what they see as a liberal or a deconstruction of theology, as they see it in the traditional Protestant churches. And you are living in a Catholic majority country. So it would be very interesting to have some of your reflections on what that's like and how you see the relation between Catholic Christianity and Protestant Christianity.
Yes, hi Tore, it's great to be with you. Thank you very much for inviting me. Yes, I remember meeting at ELF at the conference in Poland, and there were several other journalists from different places sharing about faith and work. And so, and yeah, the topic you're suggesting is very interesting.
Could you just for a beginning say something about evangelicals.focus.com? I would recommend that to our leaders as a source for following Christian news around Europe, especially, and also in other countries. But you could tell something about your project.
Yes, we started it in 2015, and we wanted to be a platform that is open for Christians in different places, different countries in Europe, and to have a Christian perspective on current issues debates, ideological movements in Europe, refugees, European Union, but also culture, film, youth statistics, whatever is happening in general media, but giving a biblical perspective. And so we try to offer Christian voices a chance to use our platform to reach more people. Not only in Europe, because many of the people who read our website are from other places, from around the world. And I think it's interesting for others as well to see what's happening in Europe, because sometimes what happens in Europe is like the vanguard of what happens then in other places, like secularization, and the changes happening in the church in Europe are interesting for people in Asia, for instance, or in Latin America or in Africa. So what we do is just to bring people together, people who know their profession or their specific area of society well, but also know the Bible well, and try to give them a voice. And specifically also because we are based in Spain, as you say, we try to give a perspective from the south of Europe or from Eastern Europe sometimes, because many of the media in English that have a Christian perspective are in the States, are in the UK, are in Australia, are in South Africa, for instance. But there are big chunks of countries that are perhaps not so well covered. So we want to give them a voice to these other regions in Europe.
And you told me that your parents come from Switzerland, so you also have a cultural link there.
Yes, my parents my father is a pastor, an evangelical, free evangelical pastor. My mother also studied theology. Both of them came to Spain in the 80s and with a music band, an evangelistic music band. So my father played the drums, and my mother sang and other people as well. So they toured through Spain, and after knowing the country, they decided to come here as church planters. And so I was born actually in Spain, then a short period in Switzerland, and then back to Spain. So most of my time since I was 5 years old, I've lived in Spain.
And you live in Valencia, is that correct?
Yes, Valencia, Mediterranean city, very nice.
Yeah, lots of nice things to see in Spain. And as you know, many Norwegians have summer houses or senior houses.
Yes,
there.
That's so true.
It has become a very popular country for Norwegians to travel to. How would you describe the relations between Catholics and Protestants or evangelicals? Both words are used in your country now.
Mm-hmm. In Spain, 95% of Protestants are evangelicals, free evangelicals. So that means that we don't have a really mainline historic Protestant church. So when we speak about Protestant evangelicals, it's two words, but we mean the same thing, which is free evangelical churches. So you would have Brethren and Baptists or Pentecostals, Charismatics, but all of them evangelicals in that sense. So right now there's not big relationship between evangelicals and Catholics. And that has also mainly a historical reason. And this is that in the 19th century, in the 20th century, evangelicals and Protestants have been seen either as heretics or as foreign sects, foreign cults that have been imported into Spain. That has been the two views of evangelicals from the majority of Spaniards and also from the Catholic Church. Then there is another historic aspect, which is the Francisco Franco dictatorship that was from 1939 to 1975, many years. And in that time, the Roman Catholic Church was very much linked to power. They had control over not only education, but also many other areas of society. And evangelicals were isolated, or some of the pastor and church leaders were persecuted. Some of them ended in prison. Church worship services of evangelicals were not allowed. They had to meet in small groups, in houses. And evangelism, of course, was not allowed either. So there was a big clash between Roman Catholicism and any minority religion in Spain. And in the democracy in the 80s and 90s, many people didn't know much about evangelicals and they would confuse them with Jehovah's Witnesses or with Mormons or that kind of groups. So they would seem us like a big group of strange religions from the States or from other places in Europe, but not really Spanish identity.
interesting there that I mentioned for you before we started the recording that for over 300 years you were not allowed to enter or to live in Norway and be a Catholic. You're not from the 16th century and up until the 19th century. You had to be a member of the Church of Norway. So the religious landscape has been quite different.
Very different. So in Spain, if you were a real Spaniard, you were a real Catholic. There was no other big option. I would say in the last years, the media have started to know more about evangelicals, but also the stereotype has been later to see evangelicals as a US religion or as a Latin American religion. Many of the migrants who have come to Spain in the years 2000, 2010, they have been evangelicals, and some of them have started their own evangelical communities, Ecuadorian communities or Colombian or Venezuelan. Others have integrated into Spanish churches. And right now in a normal evangelical church in Spain, you would have 20 or 30% are migrants from Latin America normally. So that also gives a special flavor to who evangelicals are now. But the relationship you're asking between Catholics and evangelicals is not big. On a national level, and denominations or the Spanish Evangelical Alliance or the Protestant Federation, there is no work with the Roman Catholic Church as a church. And on a grassroots level, there would be some more relationships. Perhaps churches, they would have good relationship with a Catholic parish, which is in the same neighborhood. Perhaps they would work together in some aspects. And on a personal level, of course, there are many evangelicals who have Catholic relatives, and many Catholics have converted to evangelicalism, and therefore there are family links between evangelicals and Catholics, and of course there would be good relationships in that sense.
When you grew up, was Catholicism more predominant in the society than it is now? I think about in school and so on.
It depends very much in the region of Spain. Catholicism was much more predominant in the 90s. That's where I grew up when I was in primary school, than now. But I grew up in a town in the north of Catalonia, which is north of Barcelona, and this is a region that has always been more secularized than the rest of Spain. So whereas in almost every public state school in Spain, you would have religion class, which means Catholicism class. And in my case, this option was not available. So it was very strange that in some regions in Spain, even in the 90s, there was not the option of studying Catholicism. I remember with my friends, apart from school, I played basketball, I went to a music school. And in both places, of course, there were no evangelicals. I never met an evangelical in my age, in my time, who wasn't my brother or perhaps someone else from our church. So people would know nothing about evangelicals. If they ask me what was the work of my parents, well, I would say, well, my father is a evangelical pastor, so that's very difficult to explain. And they would say, why is he married? And why do they have children? And I would say, well, it's not like a Catholics, so you can have children even if you are leading a church, that kind of things. So that was, was being a bit of a strange species as an evangelical. But even Catholics, my friends in when I was 12, 14, 16, or before, they would do the first communion, the initiation rite of Catholicism. But after that, nothing. So they knew close to nothing about the Bible or about Jesus Christ.
So that means that the cultural situation where you grew up was more similar to say Switzerland or the Nordic countries, Northern Europe, than you would find in other parts of Spain.
It was more secularized than in other parts of Spain, clearly. You in my town, you wouldn't see big Holy Week festivals on the streets. You wouldn't see big Catholic expressions with the Mary or other images. In other places of Spain, like the south of Spain, Andalusia, The Easter and the Holy Week is very, very important, and almost everyone is part of it. And there is singing, and there is massive crowds, and there is this big, well, I would say, idols they carry, and they, and so it's still strong. But even there, the percentage of Catholics has been going down. So the statistics say that 20 years ago, 85% of Spaniards were Catholics, and now it's 65. And out of the 65, there's a very low attendance. Doesn't mean that the majority goes to church.
And is it also a big difference between different generations here when it comes to younger people are less likely to attend a mass and so on?
Yes. We used to say our grandparents, not my case because I'm Swiss from my parents, but we would say grandparents were Catholic, parents refused Catholicism, and children don't know anything about Christian faith.
You told me that you also spent a year in England working for the Christian student organization, IFES there, or UCCF as it's called in England. What do you think is similar and different when it comes to secularization in England and in Spain?
I think that the big difference is that England has a long Christian history. Protestant Reformation has strong roots for centuries. And you can sense that if you compare the churches there. So I was there for 1 year. So I'm not an expert, of course, and I was in one specific city, which is Sunderland in Northeast. But also with UCCF, I was able to go to different activities in different universities, also in the South and so. And what I sensed is that evangelicals had a, I don't know if that's the word, but like a bigger self-esteem, a bigger security, a bigger identity. That's who we are. That's what we believe. Churches are, of course, bigger than in Spain in attendance and perhaps also more integrated into the city. So they're more well-known by the authorities, by the social projects, etc. In Spain, that's, I think, sometimes evangelicals are in a continuous rethinking of who we are, where do we come from. So we had our Reformation also in the 16th century. So we have a Bible, which is a translation from that first Bible in the 16th century, is the Reina Valera, Casiodoro de Reina, Cipriano de Valera, were the translators. But then after that, the Inquisition and everything. So there was long time without a history. So, and I think that's a big difference, that you can sense that in Spain, this minority complex. So we still think that we are a small minority, we are in the edge, and we have not much influence. But the truth is perhaps not that, because the growth has been very big of churches. And evangelicals are now, have gone from 0.2% 30 years ago to 2% now. So that's 10 times. And growth and worship places of evangelicals are now the second biggest religion after Roman Catholicism. There are more worship places than Islam worship places. So that should be changing this minority complex.
And what kind of evangelical churches do you find in Spain? Are they mostly charismatic or are they, do they belong to different Christian traditions?
In Spain, most are Assemblies of God. I think that's the biggest denomination. That's I would say in Spain it would be moderate Pentecostals. There are also newer expressions, more charismatic, more similar to perhaps new expressions of in the United States or Australia, like would be Hillsong or that kind of churches, Vineyard or so. But there are also very strong traditional Brethren churches that were planted in the northwest of Spain by English missionaries. And then there is also a very strong presence of Baptists that were planted by Swedish missionaries, more in the Mediterranean. So it depends on which region of Spain you would have different denominations that are stronger depending on who planted them, and that was perhaps in the 19th century.
Delevloggen NMSU sin YouTube-serie for tweens, der Silje og Hans Olav inspirerer oss til å dele tro, tid, ting og talenter. Gjennom challenger, samtaler, humor og ulike innslag formidles tro og globalt fokus på målgruppens premisser og bidrar til trosopplæring i menighet og i hjemmet. Sjekk ut delvloggen på NMSU Norge sin YouTube-kanal.
You mentioned that the evangelical churches have grown in Spain during the last decades. On the other hand, it seems like the secularization process has also reached Spain in a way which it didn't when you go a generation or two back. How do you find, or how do you kind of understand how this affects these churches?
As you mentioned before, it has to do much with generations. So you would have a big fall of Catholicism, a small increase of the minorities, but then the larger group that has grown is the knowns, those who do not identify with any religion, which is 29%. That's a statistic of official statistic of the government of this year. So that's very updated. So one third or almost one third of Spaniards do not identify with any religion. And there are, apart from that, there are about perhaps 10% who would say they're atheists. So there are many more agnostics or people who are just seekers or do not identify or don't think religion is important than atheists. And sometimes in Spain, we would have focused a lot on atheists and on Catholics. But the truth is the group that is growing is that those who do not identify with anything and are just not thinking about faith at all. And these are mainly millennials, but I would say the Generation Z, those who come after us, and the teenagers, and those are in university now, many of those, they just have no idea about anything related to religion. And so that's a challenge, because it obliges us as churches to think in this new context, how do we share the gospel in relevant ways that connects?
Mm. And how is Spain similar and different compared to other majority Catholic countries in this respect? For example, Italy, Poland, Ireland, France, so on.
I would say Spain is very similar to Italy. Italy has the Vatican in Rome, and therefore it is still very strong Catholic country, culturally at least. And I think when I speak to evangelicals in Italy, people from the Spanish, from the Italian Evangelical Alliance or other people working there, I see we speak the same language. So I would say evangelicals speak the same language, and probably Catholics also probably are in the same tune in these two countries. Also in Portugal, I would say in France, it's a bit different, because in France, Catholicism is more European. So Catholicism looks more like Catholicism in Germany or Switzerland or so. Poland and Ireland and other Catholic countries in Europe, I think that's very different context. Also culturally, it's more difficult to compare. Mm. So I would say that when I think of Southern Catholicism, I would think of Portugal, Spain, and Italy.
And when these countries have become more secularized, the typical signs of that would be, of course, marriage laws, abortion, and also the discussion about euthanasia. What do you think have been the cultural drivers for this development?
Well, if I speak of Spain, but I think it would be similar to, again, Portugal and Italy, I think there has been a real desire of our societies to modernize, to fast track and to try to be on the same level as the rest of Europe. So we look to the north, and there is the sense of we have been anchored in the past for too long. We have had a dictatorship, or we have had a control of Catholic Church in this case, and people would say we want to be modern, and we want to be modern as fast as possible. So in Spain, with the democracy in the 80s, suddenly the laws changed a lot, and there was a very strong cultural movement in music and cinema that was very, very radical in trying to break with everything, and not only the rules but also the values, and trying to recover all the time lost kind of feeling, no? And so as you say, there has been same-sex marriage law in Spain already in 2005, which is much earlier than other countries. This law also includes the adoption for same-sex couples of children, which in many countries is separated, but in this case, it included that. We just have seen the euthanasia law approved now in beginning of this year, 2021. And abortion law is pretty liberal. So there has been in 50, 40, 50 years, it has a massive shift from Christian values to very secularized values. And everything that has to do with religion is not seen very well, and is not well reported in the media either.
As you are aware of, there have been high profile evangelicals who have converted to Catholicism. One example is the former editor-in-chief at Christianity Today, Mark Galli, in the United States. And in traditional Protestant countries like Norway, we see a number of Christian or cultural profile enter the Catholic Church. Some argue that this has a broader and richer spiritual tradition. Others that the Protestant churches have proven to become more and more liberal and secularized. How do you view this phenomenon?
I followed the case of Mark Galli, and I have to admit I was very much surprised. And I think that might be a difference between what you experienced, Tore, in Norway and other countries where that is more usual, because, well, in Spain you wouldn't see that. I was thinking, do I know any pastor or do I know any influential Christian evangelical leader in Spain who has converted to Catholicism in the last years? I can't think of any person. Any person comes to mind. So it's not really happening here. Again, I think it has to do with the lack of relationship and the big distance that we still have in Spain between Catholics and evangelicals. So it's difficult to understand for a Southern evangelical, Southern European evangelical, why Mark on, or you would, not him is the one of the latest cases, but also well-known Protestant theologians or pastors who have converted to Catholicism. That's difficult to understand from this perspective from here.
Do you recognize this challenge with being in a minority church where people feel, well, we tend to become a bit isolated and we belong to a very small tradition, or we are very vulnerable to cultural changes and to persons. If we don't have the right leaders, we feel all over to ourselves, and that to belong to something bigger with a long history and so on seems like a more safe option.
So in the sense that evangelicals would feel more comfortable to be united or working with Catholics, you mean?
I thought more about the what I understand. I've done several interviews with both theologians and other people who have converted to Catholicism here in Norway. And mm-hmm. one of the things I recognize there is the longing to belong to something which is bigger and which is not just national or even smaller. You could feel like you belong to a very small Christian community, and if you belong to the big Catholic community, you kind of have fellow believers all around the world, not just people who believe in Jesus, but people who belong to the same spiritual tradition, and you share the rituals, and you kind of you really belong to the same church body. But is that something which makes sense to you in your context, or is it not a perspective which you think is recognizable to evangelicals in Spain?
I think there is a conversation about ecumenism. So that doesn't mean that evangelicals would convert to Catholicism, but there are some evangelical denominations in Spain, probably the oldest ones, which are also sometimes the smallest, that are tending more toward a language that speaks of Christians as a whole and seeing Catholics as brethren in Christ and this type of language. But it is not majoritarian at the moment here. Again, it may be an issue of history. So many evangelicals come from families that were marginalized and persecuted not so long ago. So it is difficult to say, well, now we are the same and let's just, let's kind of go back to some the mother church or something like this. I don't think it's all history, and it's also a doctrinal issue. So there are many differences.
What would you say are the most important differences? Because one of the developments which I believe maybe can explain this is when you have a cultural development where a lot of people really don't believe in God anymore. Or you feel like, well, if I meet a person who shares my belief in the triune God and believes that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and he died for our sins and was raised from the dead, well, then I really feel a connection with this person, even if we can differ on very important issues. One of the alternative is people who really don't understand what you mean with believing in God. But as you say, there are issues which, or theological questions, doctrinal questions, which are very important for many Christians still. And from your perspective, what would you say are the main differences between a Catholic understanding and a Protestant evangelical understanding?
Well, I think it has to do with justification by grace, the fact of after not adding anything to my salvation except the salvation of Jesus Christ on the cross. It has to do, well, in Spain, it has to do a lot with rites and images and whatever is what is the packaging of the religious practice. So there are big differences in how you would see here in Catholic churches the centrality of Mary, the centrality of the saints, the lack of perhaps of the presence of the Bible and the preaching of the Bible, and much more on traditions and even theories that are not very biblical. And so I think on an institutional level, the difference are so big between evangelicals and Roman Catholics in Spain that it's very difficult for an evangelical to feel comfortable. And also the other way around, many times Catholics would say, well, that's not organized enough. That's a chaos. I don't understand what you're saying. I don't see where the structure is and the hierarchy as you would have in the Roman Catholic Church. So the differences are big, both in the practice and also the theology. That said, I would add, I'm personally not for ecumenism. I think there's a difference between co-belligerence and ecumenism. So I think most evangelical leaders in Spain would say, let's work with as many people as possible in things that we agree in social projects. Let's work for family, let's work for life, let's work for refugees, let's work for drug addicts, let's work for the improvement of our cities. And let's work in that, all these issues with Catholics. Yes, let's work together. Let's work, if atheists want to join and have the same values, then let's work with atheists as well. Let's work with, so in that sense, an openness to dialogue and to work together and to learn from each other. But then the aspect of worshiping together or having spiritual union, that would be another level, no? Difference. And I personally, in my town where I grew up, I have been part of public events organized by the authorities for the summer festivals that are in every town in Spain. You have the major week of party of the local festival, and I would have been part of an event where Catholics would lead a part and I or someone else of the evangelical church would preach, and then the mayor and other local politicians would be part of it as well, because there was a thinking of how to serve the city, how to be able to be light for the gospel in a context, very, very specific context. So I think on a grassroots level, there are many collaborations happening at times. But on an institutional level, like the on a church level, organizational level, there is not this kind of relationship.
I'm not asking you to be a prophet. As journalists, we like to report on what what has happened, not what is going to happen. But do you think the relations will change if the culture development continues, that kind of believing in God becomes even stranger to most people in Spain?
I don't know. I know that in the last, let's say, 10 years, there has been a growing conversation about this, about joining other Christians and doing mission together in a secularized context. But I also think that at least now most evangelicals would see that as going backwards, not forwards. And most evangelicals would say, if we want to reach our society, we cannot use expressions of the past. We have to use new expressions, and we have to be even more evangelical in a sense, not more Catholic or not more traditional. So I don't know what will happen in the future. I know from my work with Evangelical Focus, I know that in Central European countries, the debate is much further, so that there are many more evangelicals who are very open to work with Catholics or even with Orthodox people in the Eastern Europe. So that probably will influence as south of Europe as too. So probably in Spain we will get these debates in the next years to come. But I don't know what the reaction of people will be. What I see from now, evangelicals or Protestants in Spain who are relating well with Catholics are either very, very conservative. So they would say these issues of, let's say, marriage, abortion are the most important thing, and therefore we will work with Catholics too on that, or very, very liberal. And they would say, well, our doctrine is not so important. The important is that we have love and we are brethren with any person who says who is a Christian. And then in the Catholic circles, you would have very different movements. And one of the movements in the Catholic circle would be liberal as well. So you would have connections between liberals, Catholics, and Protestants, and on the other side as well. Mm. But for the future, I don't know.
As a last question, it would be interesting to hear from your perspective on the situation and the challenges for evangelical Christianity in especially Southern Europe, but also around Europe beyond that, because I guess from your position, you get a quite unique vantage point to understand possibilities and challenges for Christians in different countries. And what would you say kind of are the opportunities and most important opportunities and challenges ahead as you see it?
Well, opportunities, what I hear in the last 12 months with the pandemic and the COVID, I see many, many church leaders in different places in Europe that are very optimistic about the how to use the change of the culture in several ways. One is in technology. So the churches have really updated their technology and their reach on the internet. Many have included, some had already television stations or bigger, but smaller churches are also now using the technology available to reach more people, both in their city, but also even internationally. And many, many Christian leaders are saying the gospel is more relevant than ever. People are asking questions about life and death. People are looking for a sense of life. People have realized that we are vulnerable, that although we are Europe, we are not as strong and as we thought. And there are people asking questions. And even in my own local church, it's a very small, quite small church, even for Spanish standards here in Valencia. But we have had relatives of church members who have started to ask questions about the Bible, are reading the Bible, and we are organizing small meetings of questions and answers and just responding to any question they have, people who never had an interest in the gospel. So there is a sense in Europe, in every country, of seeing what is God doing through this crisis and how churches should respond to that. And I see optimism. I see there are challenges, of course, of church attendance and people who have who you lose in this time of pandemic and of lockdown and not being able to gather. But I see optimism in that sense. For challenges, well, it's a challenge and opportunity, the fact that many people don't know anything about the gospel. They don't know anything about Easter or Christmas or just very the basics. But it's an opportunity. When I was working with university students, we saw that you could start a conversation from scratch, from zero. You could explain the gospel without big prejudices. People didn't know much, so they were open. Yeah, tell me about your faith. Why? What do you believe? And this is I think it's an opportunity of secularization, and that the fact that young people have not heard anything about religion and therefore have less stereotypes. And I think a challenge is the youth and the Generation Z that is coming. At least what I see in Spain is the pandemic has not helped with mental health issues, with anxiety. Many young people are isolated because of the digitalization, the digital world, and even more at home and not really having healthy relationships with others. There's a fatherless generation also. Many people have their parents divorced and have grown up in a difficult family context. So I think there's opportunity for the churches to offer a community, to offer spiritual care and healing for this generation, for these young people.
Thank you so much, Joel Forster, for taking time to talk to us. And it was very interesting to get your perspectives on this. And as I mentioned, if you like to follow Joel's work, it's at evangelicalfocus.com. I'll make sure it is in the show notes as well.
Thank you very much, Tore. It was great to learn also from your perspective. And it's very interesting to see sometimes that the difference, but also the similarities between the Scandinavian countries and the south of Europe. That's perhaps for another podcast.
Exactly.
That's very interesting.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.